Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. All stanzas of Psalter 65.
Faithful, I've been sure. Scripture reading for this morning will be from the Gospel according to John and thereof chapter 19, but first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 19, the first 18 verses. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered thee unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Van Worthausen, who is in the community care beds, Mr. and Mrs. Martin Van Hagenbos, who were blessed with a well-born boy in this past week. Also, Mr. and Mrs. Robin Robinson of the Calgary Group, who were also blessed with a well-born boy in the weeks gone by. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing, all-sufficient God of heaven and of earth, it behooves us to humble ourselves before Thee in this beautiful morning, and when we are permitted to gather in Thy house, and Thou knowest each and every one of our needs. There are many needs for this life, but in a special way gathered upon Thy day, round about Thy holy word and everlasting testimony, for that need that is in our souls. Lord, then we can read of those who were gathered round about that pool at Bethesda, and there Thy Spirit did stir those waters from time to time, that they may receive that healing power, that those that may first step in and may be healed. Lord, then we also are waiting upon Thee, because without that moving of the waters, then there is no power. And then without Thy Holy Spirit, and then Thy word comes alone into our ears, and there is no effect within our heart and within our life, and there is no new birth, there is no new affections, there is no new life. And then we remain as we were before, or even harder, as we come time after time to Thy house of prayer. But, O Lord, we look upon to Thee in this morning hour, because it is Thy own institution in which we are gathered in this day, the ministry of Thy own word that Thou hast given for the bringing in of Thy kingdom. Oh, that Thou would be pleased in this morning hour to look upon us from heaven, Thy dwelling place, where Thou sittest upon the throne, all power given unto Thee in heaven and in earth. And Thou art able to put away all that Satan brings against us. Oh, Thou art able to break the hardest of our hearts as that nether millstone. And Thou art able in this morning hour, with the arrow of Thy Holy Spirit, to cause a man to cry out in the midst of this life, upon his journey on that broad way to that everlasting destruction. O Lord, could it please Thee to give us also in our days with our children, and that we might know of that power of thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be given to testify of the irresistibleness of thy grace, that we may be given to speak, that the mouth may go open and tell of thy wonders. For a man born into this world is in a broken covenant, and he is not seeking thee. O Lord, a wonder needs to happen in our life. And thou sayest it thyself, that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into that kingdom of God. Oh, then man does not understand. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Lord, could it please thee to give us the experience thereof? Then we shall know it, not alone with our minds, but we shall know it in our heart and in our life. Then it shall be known also in our families, in our community, when men may stand in awe at thy work, at the raising of the dead, even as thou hast called forth Lazarus from that grave, and when he had laid 4 days already therein. O Lord, many did believe in thee. O, so it would be also in our midst, when thou wouldst raise one from the dead, and that men may behold the power of thy Spirit, the wonder of thy grace, and that the word may be given to go forth, and that others also may be drawn to seek thee while it is still a day of grace. O Lord, we beseech thee, does not a river flow whose streams may glad the city of God? O, that thou may remember then also all thy true children. O, that thou may give them when they are in a dry and thirsty land, and when their tongue cleaves to the roof of their mouth for thirst. O thou that sayest, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. O, we beseech thee, when that ground is so dry and experienced to be a wilderness here below, when there can be such a long, long time between thy visits, and when thy children, they fear to perish yet at the hand of Saul, though thou hast done so many wonders already in their life. Lord, could it please thee to come again unto each and every one of thy own, or to open their eyes that they may see, and that thou may teach them those wonders out of thy holy law. Lord, open thou thy word. To whom else can we go but unto thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we are so dependent upon thee. Thou knowest our undeservedness. Thou knowest that we have left thee days without number. Also thy children. Thou knowest the carnality of their hearts. O Lord, that thou may bring them again, that thou may instruct, that thou may lead, and wilt thou bring back from that captivity, that we do bring ourselves in time and time again, that it is only thy work. Thy children, they can mourn, they can hang their harps on the willows, at all the tauntings and the mockings of the enemy, the prince of darkness, who says he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. O Lord, then thy only begotten Son, he was not a stranger of the tauntings of the enemy, the mocking of the prince of darkness. Then it is in the life of thy children that they also must experience the same. But wilt thou show unto them that thou knowest who that they are and where that they are, also in this thy holy Sabbath day? O, do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great name. O, send forth thy light and thy truth, that they may lead us unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles, that thy word may go open, that it may have recourse, that thy Spirit may bring it in the hearts of young and old together. Oh, remember us when we have become old under thy truth. Lord, thou knowest the many fears. When a man does approach unto the grave knowingly, thou knowest, Lord, how it is in the life of those also in our own midst. Wilt thou remember them in thy mercy? Oh, do give also in old age, that the hearts may be broken by thee. Oh, that they may be given to say, to testify, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. And then their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren shall be gathered about them. And then they may speak of thy wonders, Lord. Oh, thy name should be so honored and so glorified. And when they will tell how a wretched and a hardened sinner, how one who has chosen his own way, and who has gone only in the way of rebellion all his life long, and was stopped by the Spirit, by the word of the Lord. O Lord, shall then not men stand in awe of thee and of thy work? Remember also the youngest, the children, and the young people. O give unto them in the days of their youth, and that hunger and that thirst of that life that never dies. Oh, that it may be born in each and every one of them, that thou would not leave a hoof behind as we are traveling to that great eternity. And when we have become older also, Lord, thou knowest the busyness of life, how that Satan attempts to draw in every way, so that there is so little time, so that there is so little desire, consider thee and what thou sayest in thy word. Lord, we need to be stopped by thee. Oh, we need that thou would say thus far and no further. And not one more day, not one more hour. Oh, could it be the hour of thy good pleasure in this morning hour, that thou would come in the midst of us, and that thou would remember us undeservedly as a congregation. Oh, turn us from all our worldliness and from all our sin. Turn us from following all that does not profit and all that is passing away. Because man calls his lands after his own name. But man that is in honor and understandeth not, he shall be like the beast that perish. Oh, that thou may give us that understanding then in this thy holy day. Be with all those that are not able to gather with us. Her that is in the hospital, wilt thou remember her also in the needs of the body, in the pain of the body. Her husband also in all of his needs. Remember them both together. And could it please thee to give what the doctors are not able to give, and to supply for all that care for her. Also our brother elder that is at home in this day, remember him also in his sickness, and raise him up once again, that he may go in and out among us. Thou hast given also children to be born in the congregation. Oh, that thou may remember the children that are born. Oh, give them to be born again, that thou may supply for the mother's health and strength once again, for the parents what they stand in need of in the instruction and the direction and the upbringing of their children, and all of us together as parents in that promise that we have promised at our at the baptizing of our children. Lord, wilt thou go before each and every one, and that has needs not known unto us, as some also with relatives that are very sick or that are low even at the point of the grave. Wilt thou remember them in all their needs? Cause the cry to come up unto thee, into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Remember all thy servants over the length and the breadth of the whole world that bring thy word this day. Give them to feel, and that underneath are thine everlasting arms, when they are not able to bring forth anything, and that thou would thyself show thyself to be him that is called and him that is sent. Also our theological school, our instructors and our students together, oh, that thou may look and remember them, even in this day, to give unto them a token out of thy heavenly store and help. Each day also in all the studies, remember us all together with our children. Wilt thou look upon our school and all those that labor therein, our teachers, our children, the bus drivers, our school board. Look on us all together, Lord, and wilt thou bless us this day with a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Wilt thou supply for us in the preaching to give what is necessary to bring thy word in all faithfulness? And wilt thou do what we cannot do? We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 140, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. We announce that the Seniors' Morning in Picture Butte, the Picture Butte Seniors' Morning, has been rescheduled for Wednesday, April the 1st. The last collection today is for the Disaster Fund. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, John 19, and thereof the 10th and the 11th verses. John 19 and verses 10 and 11. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. So far, the words of our text. The power of the law. First, the power of the law against sin. And second, the power of the law against Christ. The power of the law. The power of the law against sin. And the power of the law against Christ. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Who says that? That is Pontius Pilate. He is the governor. He is the governor of Judea. And at that time also thus also the judge. Thus, we find ourselves this morning in the court, of law. Did you ever come, congregation, into a court of law? That is a very instructive place. Court of law is a place of very great power. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Thus, that place in the court that is a place of power over life and over death. With one word, Herod has spoken and John the Baptist was beheaded. With one word, Pilate has spoken and the Lord Jesus is crucified. Thus, we say a place of very great, of tremendous power. Where does a single man get such power from? That is power over his fellow man. Pilate boasted of that power to Christ. He says, Knowest thou not that I have power over thee? And the Lord Jesus, he corrected him. He said, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Thus he says, Your power that is a delegated power, that is from above, that is from God. God is all powerful. That is, children, what word? That is omnipotent. All powerful, almighty. But the Lord, He is also giving power into the hands of men in this world. Thus he gives authority. He gives that authority in the first place unto the Father in the household. And then he receives power. That authority that goes thus from that Father also unto the magistrate in the community, in the land. And also the Lord, he is giving a certain ecclesiastical power. Thus Paul says, there is no power but of God. The powers that be, they are of God. There are other powers in this world over men. They are not delegated powers, but they are powers which have been usurped. That is, that there are powers which have been taken over others. We know that the devil, he has much power. That is not a power that the Lord has delegated to him, but it is a power that Satan takes unto himself. At the same time, that is a power which at the present time that is allowed, that is permitted by the Lord, because he has the power to make that power of the devil to cease. But that is not at the present his will. Thus we say sometimes money, that is power. And Solomon, he says, the rich, they bear rule over the poor. But we know that the rich, they are also often oppressing the poor with that power. But all under that eye, that watchful eye of the Lord. Thus Solomon, he says, I beheld the tears of those that were oppressed. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Is there power on the side of your oppressor? But then you may know that also that there would be no power given unto him except that it were given unto him from above. That is not only to be delegated to him, but even in the permission of the Lord. Because Solomon, he says, he that is higher than the highest, he that is higher than that highest power in this world, regardeth. And there is, he says, one that is higher than they, that the people then may be given to cry unto him in their oppression. Even with those powers that are rightly delegated and given by the Lord, we can read in God's word that there is much abuse of that power. The Lord Jesus says that that power that is given from above, but that power that is given from above for a very special purpose, especially that that magistrate, he is receiving power over men in this world. And what is the special purpose of that power? That is for the fulfillment, for the carrying out of justice. That is, that the law of God may be carried out amongst men in this world. Thus, it is a power that is delegated. Thus those who are given that power, the Lord setting up the one, the Lord putting down the other, those that are given that power are actually a delegation from the Lord. In the Bible, sometimes they are called gods. And their power, that is an embodiment of the power of God's justice itself in the heavens. That is, to carry out that law. And that law that has two sides. Pilate knew those two sides to that law very, very well. He says, "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" "Yes, Pilate, you have power to crucify and you have power to release. You have power to condemn and you have power to set free. Only, Pilate, had you only realized something, that on both those sides you must give an account for how that you are carrying out, how that you are administering that power that is given unto you from above. I have power to crucify thee. I have power to condemn thee. But, Pilate, did you condemn Barabbas? You had power to do it when no other man in the whole world had power to do it. That was delegated by the Lord himself to you to carry out that condemnation of that man in his guilt. And you have little realization of that account that you will give when you have set that man at liberty. I have power to crucify thee, and I have power also to release thee. Yes, Pilate, you, above all men in this world, you are the one who has that power. You are the one who is delegated with that power to release everyone whom you have found in this world under your jurisdiction to be innocent. But what have you done? You have condemned him. Even though your conscience has testified against you, even though your mouth has testified against you, even though your wife has testified against you, then you will give an account that you have not used that power that the Lord has given unto you. Thus, we have the abuse of those delegated powers from the Lord. And why? The fear of man, desiring the favor of man, not wanting to come into trouble with Caesar Augustus, wanting ease for myself, desiring to appease the people, and therefore not carrying out and exercising that power from the Lord. A weak man, a few scruples of his conscience, yes, we can see them in and hear them in Pilate. But these are not strong enough to come against everything that is coming against them. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? That is the power of the law. That is the power of the law of God to condemn a man. The law that has power to condemn the thief. He knew that power. He said, "We indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds. Thus he felt the power of that law to condemn. He did not need to be convinced by any man in this world. Why? Because that power was felt within his own conscience. Thus his own conscience testified of the rightness of that sentence that was against him. Some little remnants of that law of God still living in the conscience of that man. Thus the power of that law against sin. Did you ever feel it? That is why a man trembles in his guilt when he stands before a judge in this world. When he stands before the law. Because that law, and hence that judge, that is wielding a terrific power. A power over life and death. However, in our second thought, we see the power of that law also against Christ. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? Who says that? That is Pilate. To whom does he say it? He says that unto Christ. I have power to crucify thee. I have power to condemn thee. Thus the Lord Jesus, he is in the court. You say that is natural, children. Because he is the judge. Yes. He is the judge. And soon he will be coming. And every eye shall see him. And he shall sit upon his throne of glory. And all his servants, the angels, they shall bring before him every soul in this world. When we shall stand before that great judge of heaven and earth. But we do not see him this morning as a judge. No, we see just the opposite. Here he is not sitting as that judge, but he is standing before the judge. He is standing before an earthly judge. He is standing as one that is accused. Oh, the humiliation, the depth of the condescension of Christ, the judge of all the earth. That he has humbled himself so deeply to stand as accused before an earthly judge in this world. One day it will be different. When Pilate will arise from the dead, and when Pilate will stand before the judgment seat of Christ with you. And with me. But there was a time that John the Baptist, he said to the Lord Jesus, that when the Lord Jesus asked him to baptize him, then John the Baptist, he says, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Christ said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So that is also here in this court that the Lord Jesus, he suffers it to be so now. in order that he may himself fulfill all righteousness. I have power to crucify thee. Is that so, Pilate? Where do you get that power from? To crucify him. Because a judge's power that is proceeding from where? Well, that judge's power that is proceeding from that law. The judge, he has no power that is a right power. He has no power outside of that law. When that law condemns a man, then that judge has power from the Lord to condemn that man. Because it is the law that is condemning that man. And when that law is acquitting a man, and then that judge has only power to release him. He has no power, no right power, to condemn a man whom the law judges to be innocent. Thus, what was Pilate's power over Christ? You see, Pilate actually had no power to condemn him. Why not? Because he was innocent. He only had one power, and that was to release him. Thus, we would say, Pilate, if you will crucify him, if you will condemn him, then actually you are usurping power. You are taking a power that does not belong to you. Yes, so it is from the side of Pilate. However, the Lord Jesus, he tells Pilate something different. He tells him actually just the opposite. Pilate, the Lord Jesus says to Pilate that you have power against me. You are given that power. So you are not only given power to release, but you are actually given power to condemn me. Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Thus, Christ acknowledges Pilate's rightful power from above for his condemnation. What is it? It is the proof of the imputation of the guilt of the whole church of God unto Christ as he is standing here in that court of judgment. Because the Lord Jesus says to him that only God gives to you that right to crucify me. Only God gives to you that right to condemn me. And why is it? Because his law that is against me? You do not realize it, Pilate. And therefore, actually, you are a guilty man in it. But God truly gives you that right to crucify, to condemn me. Your sentence against me, that is a righteous sentence. Why? Because it is the sentence of God. And why? Because before God, there is not a more guilty man in this whole world, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, as I am, who is bearing the guilt, the sin, the transgression, the iniquity by imputation from God for that whole church. From the beginning of time unto the end of time. From the first one unto the last one, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. All power against Christ that is given from above. And that power that is against Christ is the power of God's law against sin. And that law does not condemn the innocent. But God has condemned him. Pilate even sought to release him. But it was divine vengeance that was pursuing him. Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. But God says, I have laid every fault of my church upon him. And therefore Christ says to Pilate, thou couldest have no power against me except that it were given to thee from above. Thus when Christ placed himself under that law, he placed himself not only under its obligations, but he has placed himself also under its curses. And that law that has power, that curse that has power, power to do what? Power to condemn. Thus we see the subjection of Christ under that power of the judgment of God from that highest court in heaven. That subjection under the power of that law when it would be against him, and that from above. And that for what? Or rather, for whom? We first sing 232, 1 and 2. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. And we wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 1 and 2 of Psalter 232. Thank you. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin, who delivered the Lord Jesus' children to Pilate. So as a man, as an individual, that was Judas, his disciple. And then as rulers, was the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. But then it was also as a nation, it was the people of the Jews that have delivered him unto Pilate. What made their sin, the Lord Jesus says, greater than the sin of Pilate? That is who they were and what they have done. Who were they? Well, they were those who were among his own brethren. It was his own people. That is, making that guilt so much the greater. Thus it was by the Jewish nation a betrayal of their king, a denial of him, and a choosing Caesar above him. We have no king but Caesar. Thus who that people were. And what have they done? Well, they have brought Christ before Pilate, and they have desired him that he would abuse that power that was given to him by God in the judgment. Not only that they desired him, but they have pressured him, they have even threatened him that if he did not do it, that they were going to bring him into trouble with Caesar. Thus, it was those who knew so very much better, those who were of that visible church, those who knew the right from the wrong, and who have done that wrong out of malice, and who have instigated others that they would do so also. It is not a light matter that we are brought up under and that we are instructed in the truth. We will give an account for this. Christ says, then therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Because of knowledge, children, young people, because of our knowledge, all must be brought into the court. And how so? Because we are all very good judges of one another. But did we ever come into the court as one who is accused? As one who is accused. Because there are many people that call God their Father and who know absolutely nothing about Him as judge. But that is impossible. Why? Because there can be no reconciliation outside of the administration of justice. And where is the Lord beginning in the life of a person? That is with accusations. That is with his law. You say, the first thing that is love, that is show. That is that the Lord, He is taking to Himself the affections of a man, that is the truth. And John says we love Him because He first loved us. But that will never be without that accompaniment of the accusations of the Spirit of the Lord against the law of the Lord. That is, that a man sees something and believes something of the cause of that separation that is between God and his soul. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? Thus, it is speaking about that condemning power of the law. Do you know that condemning power of the law? We can speak about the knowledge of the law. But the knowledge of the law, to know it, or to feel the power of that law, they are two very different things. Young people, you memorize that law of God. But the power of that law, that is not something that a person can just memorize. The natural man has no faith. Thus, he does not believe in God. He does not believe in His Word. And he does not believe in the judgment. But he ought to believe it. Because it is true for every single man. And thus, every man is called to believe that truth. You say, I believe it. You believe it? Then why do you not tremble? As you would tremble as a guilty man who would have to appear tomorrow in an earthly court before an earthly judge. We do not tremble because we do not believe. Bunyan's Christian, he trembled. And why did he tremble? He says, I have to die and I have to appear before God. And I cannot die and I do not dare to appear before God. Why? Because of that condemning power of that law of God. What does an upright man do when he comes into a court? Then he speaks the truth, as Christ did in that court. By the Spirit of the Lord, then there is no more denying. Like Gehazi, who said, thy servant went not with her. Or Ananias and Sapphira, that we sold the land for so much. No. David, he hid his sin for 9 months. But when the Lord came in with the mouth of his servant and said, thou art the man, then there was no hiding of that sin anymore. What did David say then? He said, against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Oh, what was it that was that falling under that righteous sentence of the Lord? that falling under that power of that law which condemned him. When David, after he had in his pride numbered that people, saw that angel standing with that drawn sword above that threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite, then he prayed. He says, "O Lord, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." Oh, that bowing under that condemning power of that law of God. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee?" There is a people that are not strangers of that condemning power of that law of God. Not that it is the same in its degree in every one of God's children, but when we will know nothing of that condemning power, how can we see the least preciousness in Christ as he is standing in this judgment? That law that does not condemn the innocent know that very well. And the guilty, he also knows that very well. And that law that has no mercy, that law has no grace, that is not part of that law. That is why David, he says, "Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is justified. But did the Lord ever open unto you, unto your guilty soul, as something of that blessed suitability of Christ as he is standing in that judgment?" Because Isaiah, he says, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness." That is, to be redeemed from that law. "All we like sheep," he says, "are gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Oh, blessed, blessed imputation from the Lord. The imputation of every sin of that church unto that blessed, sinless mediator. Outside of this, there is no salvation, because there is no mercy and there is no grace with that law. Did you ever see it? Did the Lord ever show it to you? Because David, he says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace, they have kissed each other." Oh, that imputation. That imputation of that sin of that church unto that blessed mediator that is so complete. That is not 50% or 75 or 90 or even 99%, because then it has been impossible for that church of God. But every sin, he says himself, "I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins." Oh, faith. Faith may behold this. What did David say? He saw it. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That is now the experience of that faith in the soul, in the revelation, in the application of that salvation. Oh, then that law cannot condemn. Then there is, in a sight of Him, a sight of that blessed fullness, of that taking over of every iniquity and every transgression by the blessed Son of God. So that that curse that is so far removed from that law, as if that it existed nevermore, there is now one sin that is left. It is the opposite. That justice that is now coming on the side of the people, instead of that being against them, then they may see something, how that justice that is standing for them, because that is a price that is so completely made, and that is a satisfaction of that judge, which has caused that wrath so completely to be removed from that people. Oh, is there not such a rest? Is there not such a blessed peace in it? When there is not a sin left, when there is no more guilt, you know what Paul says? He says, no more conscience of sins. Imagine that, young people. That you had not a single sin in your whole life on your conscience. When you had to stand before a judge, when you have to stand before a judge and you know that there is no sin, you are not afraid. You are not afraid. Boys and girls, your father says, come. And you know you have not done it. You are not afraid. Oh, that is the peace. That is the rest that remaineth unto the people of the Lord. That is the peace that passes all understanding. Do you know what those people can do? They can live and they can die. They can stand in the judgment. They can stand before God. All that's left is that pollution. That's all that's left. And that's left to the day of their death to humble them. To humble them. And to keep them low. And to make them desire that they may lay down this body of death, and that they may enter into that eternal abyss, that eternal bliss. All made possible by whom? All made possible by Him who did suffer that law, the power of that condemning law when it was against Him, suffering it so to the end that He has completely delivered His church from it all. That power given by His own Father, given from above for the sake of Christ, for the deliverance of His people, and to the honor of His great and glorious name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O who can tell of the wonders of Thee, they are so very, very deep, and we are only able to stammer as a man. But Lord, Thou can bring a few simple words into our hearts. Oh, look on us. There are riches to be received in this short day of grace, so far above the gold and the silver of this world. Oh, our eyes, they do not see it, Lord. And we need open eyes. And we need open ears. We need our heart to be opened. Remember us. Look on us. And cause us to seek for that treasure that is in heaven. And where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And what may be also enjoyed here a little upon this earth. And by moments, by thy church, oh, humble their hearts. Give them thankful hearts, but give them also to make their calling and election sure. Oh, that we may be given to know it for certain, the assurance of it, that thy name is glorified. Look on us further in this day. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon. Help thy servant who hopes to bring thy word here. Help also us in Calgary in this afternoon. And wilt thou watch over us and bring thy word where we cannot bring it. For Jesus' sake, amen. 4:46, 2 and 4. If thou shouldst mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. And what follows in 2 and 4 of Psalter 446. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.